I wanted to look at something in Abraham's life. And I wanted to do it, you know, from my own heart. It encourages me. But I think it's good for all of our hearts. This is Abraham. We're dealing with Abraham, the father of our faith. And I love to just contemplate that. He's not only the father of our faith, he's the father of all who believe. And that means that whatever material Abraham was made out of, that's the material we're made out of. And if Abraham, in spite of being made of that material, and how the Holy Spirit highlights his life and so on, and we're going to look at it. We're going to look at the material. We're going to look at his problems, his issues. And tonight, my big question is, what was he thinking? What was that man thinking? And please, you tell me what he was thinking. But the wonder is, if that's what the Lord brought him through, and brought him through ultimately, triumphantly, and victoriously, thank God we can have that hope as well. Because we're made of the same material. But not only are we made of the same material, we're of the same faith. And if that's what faith in the living God did for him, thank God that's what faith in the living God is going to do for us. So just to put some things in perspective here, he was 75 years old when he left Haran. So that's in chapter 12, okay? Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So here we have Abraham, and we know that he's 75 years old when he departs out of Haran, and he comes into the land of Canaan. In chapter 12, verse 5, and oh, he's in the land of Canaan, and as he's in the land of Canaan, there the Canaanite was in the land. And you get that in verse 6. And the Lord appears to him, verse 7, and said unto Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon, therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So, this is the first period of his life, and in this first period of his life, in fact, the three major periods of his life and his training, he sins against his wife, Sarah. Does it here when he goes into the land of Egypt and he says that she is his sister. All right, now we come to Genesis chapter 15, and that's when God says, you're going to have a son. And in Genesis 15, he believes the Lord, verse 6, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Now at that point, the only one that knew that Abraham believed was God. Thank God he knows the heart. And this goes back to Sunday, and Sunday with the whole thing about Peter, lovest thou me? And what did Peter respond? Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Back to Peter. If you had had the experience that Peter had, and after you publicly denied the Lord the way he denied the Lord, I mean, horrendous. And the Lord came to you and said, do you love me? What would you say? I think we'd say what Peter said. Lord, you know I do. Thank God for that. But what else are you going to say? What are you going to point to? What are you going to point to? Well, feelings? Well, love isn't a feeling, is it? I mean, thank God we can say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. So I think that that's a wonderful thing, that at this juncture, God spoke to Abraham, said, you're going to have a son. I'm going to give you a son. Your son is going to be your heirs, your heir. He's going to inherit everything and all the promises. And Abraham believed God. And boy, now he believes God. And you come into chapter 16, you got that second period of Abraham's life. And now he's got to be taught, doesn't he, what faith means. And when you first trusted the Lord Jesus, when I first trusted the Lord Jesus, how much did I know of what faith in God means? And we're learning it still, aren't we? What does it mean? Abraham thought that believing God's promise and having faith in God meant we've got to help God because, you know, God, he helps those who help themselves, you know. And there's truth to that, obviously. But when it comes to something God promises, God doesn't need help. And thank God he doesn't need help. And any promise of God that depends on you or depends on me for God to fulfill is worthless. Because anything that depends on us, anything that depends on me, it's a disaster. Thank God that he took it to the minimum level, the most bottom line basic level. Do you believe me? And thank God, Abraham believed God at this juncture, and God knew he did. And he justified him at that moment. Oh, thank God for that. It's wonderful, isn't it? Thank God for that. And so now you come to chapter 16, and the issue is, well, Sarah, she's getting up there in years, and no child, and Sarah makes a suggestion to him, take Hagar. And so Abraham took Hagar, see? And he takes Hagar, and he produces a child out of Hagar, with Hagar, by the works of the flesh. And we know the ramifications theologically of all that in the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Galatians. The problems with Christians that make a profession that they believe God's promises, and then they go right back to the law. They go right back to self. They go back right back to what we do, what I do, what I do, what I do. It's a disaster. And so Abraham had to be taught what faith in God means. And we come to chapter 17, and this is where I want to pick up. That now here, at the end of chapter 16, Ishmael is born. And how old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? Verse 16. Abraham was 86 years old. So this is 11 years after. Okay? He came out of Haran. 11 years after. In chapter 12, verse 4, he leaves Haran. He's 75 years old. Correct? And then he's justified. God says, you're going to have a son. Tremendous wealth, tremendous pride. What good is all this for me when I don't have a son? You'll have a son. Abraham believed God. Justified. Oh, thank God for that. But now, time passes. No son, no son, no son. Sarah says, take the woman, produce a son. So he takes Hagar, and he has the son, and now he's 86 years old when Ishmael is born. Now we come to chapter 17, and now verse 1. Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old. So now this is 13 years later, correct? And almost 24 years after he left Haran. And now he's 99. Here's Ishmael, 13-year-old boy, right? Oh, what love for Ishmael. 13-year-old son. So he's 99 years old. Now look at chapter 17, and we're at verses 15 through 21. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, well, actually, before that, let's go to verse, the covenant of circumcision, etc., etc. And so he circumcises everyone in his house. And in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give, now, this is God speaking. This is God's word. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He laughed. This is Abraham. Now we're into the entering into the third major period of his life. See? And now God speaks to him. God speaks to the one that back in 15 said, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham believed God. And God reckoned it to him for his righteousness. And now, more than 13 years later, this is the man who believes in God. And God says, I'm going to give you a son from Sarah. And I'm going to bless her, make her great. And the man who believed God did what? He laughs. He laughs. And, you know, I made a note, our battle with the natural, with the flesh, with the material. That's why, you know, I was encouraging when he leadeth me. He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Wow. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. One thing to sing that. It's one thing to live that out. Huh? It's one thing to believe that. It's another thing for that faith to hold me. Those are two different things, aren't they? And so here's the Abraham who believed God, and now God comes 13 years later, or more than that, whatever the time is, but Ishmael's 13 years old, and Abraham's 99. And God comes and says, Sarah will bear you a son. And he laughs. And his reaction after he laughed, notice what, verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? So, notice by what he says that he understood at that moment that God's promise was, he was 99, and he understood that the child that God was promising him would be born in a year. See? So he says, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? So she was 89 here. 10 years difference, she'd be 90. When that child would be born. So the first thought in his mouth, his first reaction is he laughs, and then, you know, shall a child be born? Verse 18, and Abraham's reaction was, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Wow. The product of the flesh. More confidence in the flesh than in the promise of God. In the heart of the man who was justified by faith. Oh, thank God, God knew he was a believer. Anyway, it goes on. Let's keep, I wish that Ishmael could live before you. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name. Call his name what? Laughter. That's what Isaac means. Interesting, isn't it? Laughter. Huh? And then, and I will establish my covenant. And then he goes on and tells him about Ishmael. I'll bless him, verse 20, verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this same time in the next year. So he knows it. And yet, what's he saying? Would to God Ishmael could live before you. And I'm not judging Abraham. I'm simply highlighting. You going to say something?
No, I was just going to
keep
up with it.
Oh,
his son.
My goodness.
So, yeah,
13 years old. Yeah, but it's more than that, that he loved him. It's that's the one that he wanted the seed, the blessing to come through, to be the one by whom all the promises of God were fulfilled and accomplished. That's what I'm getting at. And that was so deeply ingrained in him. Back to my comment here. Our battle with the natural, with the flesh, with the material, with the physical, versus the reality of the invisible future promises of God. And that ties right into death's door. Even when death's cold wave, I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. Yeah, well, let me tell you something, man. I got a nodule on my lung. I'm going for a PET scan, and I'm crapping razor blades. It is what it is. I don't know about you, but the fear of death is a reality. Now, you know, I've never done it before. I'm just simply saying, now imagine those who don't have the Holy Spirit like we do, who don't believe these promises. How do they do it? All their lifetime subject to bondage, slavery through the fear of death. Well, let me tell you something. Delivering people from slavery and bondage is a difficult process. Huh? And it takes time. And here's Abraham, still right before God. Would to God Ishmael could live before you. Anyway, in chapter 18, the Lord comes, verse 9, and they said unto Abraham, where's your wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee. So this is the angel of the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate Christ. This is Jehovah. Verse 10, return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah, what'd she do? Laughed within herself, saying, now this is important, and I wish I had more time, like always. But watch what she says, and this is in her heart. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. In her heart, she called Abraham what? Her Lord. That's 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and you go down 1 Peter chapter 3, and it says, but let it be the women whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the Old Testament, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. We don't know that she ever called him Lord with her lips. But at that moment, in her reaction, she referred to Abraham as her Lord. And that's powerful, because she believed in that order of God, you see, from the heart. So now, she laughs herself, and the Lord deals with Abraham, verse 13, and says, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then, as I see it, verse 15, Abraham goes to his wife and says, "Why did you deny? Why did you laugh?" And she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh, for she was afraid." And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Now, why do I bring that in? Well, I bring that in because then, at that point, we come to Genesis chapter 20. And here we are in Genesis chapter 20, and we come to verse 1. So here's Abram, and he knows he's in that year, and he knows this is the time for the promised seed, Isaac, to whom God has said, "In thee, in that seed will all the nations of the earth be." It's in Isaac, it's not in Ishmael. And he goes, "Would to God Ishmael could live before you." And verse 1, "And Abraham journeyed from there toward the south country and dwelled from Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister.'" What was that man thinking? I mean, overwhelming. At this stage, in the very year, at the very time that all of God's program, all of God's program in Isaac, in Sarah, and we know the New Testament, the son of the bondwoman shall never inherit with the son of the free woman. We are not the children of the bondwoman. We're the children of the free woman, the Jerusalem which is from above. And unless we're her children, we're doomed, man. We're doomed. And here's this man, takes Sarah to Gerar and publicly commits the same sin he committed back in Genesis 12 in Egypt and says, "She's my sister." And he put in peril. I mean, you think he did it intentionally? It makes us do bad things. But here's the man who's the father of our faith, to whom all the promises were given. And he jeopardizes the whole thing. The whole thing. By exposing Sarah to be taken by Abimelech into his house and questioning the very heart of the gospel, which is the birth, the supernatural birth, by the supernatural power of God, of the promised seed of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. You saying he's a believer? On what basis are you going to tell me that man's a believer? Well, I'm going to tell you he's a believer on the basis of Genesis 15. That the Holy Spirit records that God said to him, "I'm going to give you a son." And Abraham, at that point, believed God. And God, at that point, who knew his heart, right then and there, justified the man. Saved the man. Oh, shout hallelujah. Tell me, does that encourage you? But oh, God, help me and open our eyes to realize this hold of the flesh, it's huge, man. It's huge. Because it makes you wonder, what was he thinking? Well, he had Ishmael. And in the back of his mind, "I've got Ishmael. And would to God Ishmael could live before you." And my struggles, and I say this, I need your prayers. This battle between the natural, the physical, flesh, what we can hold, what we can see, what we can touch, and God and the living Word of God and the promises of God. Which are more real? Well, here in Genesis 20, look at Abraham. And I don't have time, I have to close. But here's a couple things. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He was leading Abraham here. Well, in the sense, not that he led them to do that, but that God didn't stop his purposes being fulfilled in Abraham, even when Abraham committed this horrendous, horrendous indiscretion, sinful indiscretion of unbelief. And the whole thing, he himself says it to Abimelech, when Abimelech takes him and says, and here's another hypocrisy, verse 11. Abimelech takes the guy in verse 10 and says to him, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? What in the world?" And Abraham says, "Well, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place." You freaking hypocrite, you. And the fear of God is in you? And you're exposing Sarah and the whole program of redemption that you believed in Genesis 15 to absolute satanic destruction by your indiscretion. And you're judging Abimelech that the fear of God is not in him, but it is in me. Lord, help us. This is scripture. I'm not making this up. This is highlighted for us. And how deep was the problem? Verse 13, "And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place where we shall come, say of me, he's my brother." And then the end of the chapter is very important. And two things I want to show here, and that is, "And Abimelech took sheep," etc., etc. But verse 16, "Unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was, you know what the word reproved is? Justified. She was vindicated. In other words, the integrity of Sarah and the fact that she had not lain with Abimelech, the mother of the promised seed, vindicated, justified, protected by the faithfulness of the living God in spite of Abraham's great indiscretion. Back to 1 Peter 3. The women of old. You know, God's faithfulness to these women and to that woman who even then said, "Okay, I'm his sister." And anyway, she was vindicated. Verse 7 of chapter 20. Why am I bringing this in? Because of this, sometimes this emphasis that, you know, in order for God to use us, we've got to behave ourselves. Well, obviously, we should be behaving ourselves. But again, God's use of you, my friend, if it depends on your behavior and my behavior, forget about rejoicing in any kind of faith that God uses you, if it depends on you. And here's God dealing with Abimelech, and he says to Abimelech, "Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." We are a savor of Christ, whether to life or to death. But the likes of us, we're a savor of Christ. Isn't it amazing? This is Abraham. And then to think that this same Abraham that so jeopardized the promised seed takes the promised seed in chapter 22. Verse 17, "So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham." May God encourage our sisters. And may God encourage us. Abraham, the father of our faith, who went and withheld not his only son from God. Amen. I hope this encourages your hearts. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. And Father, again, as we contemplate thy word, we realize how far our thinking and everything we can perceive on our own is skewered and false and detached from truth. How we thank thee for thy word. Preserve this assembly, we pray. Preserve us in thy word here, individually, personally, and corporately as an assembly. Oh, make us a people of thy word, we pray. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus.